Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's a real blessing to be back here. We were gone for the last probably week and a half. Spent some time in the Smoky Mountains. And I guess today I want to share some of our experience out there. One thing that sticks out probably above anything else from our experience out there was the bears. You know how it is when you want to go to the Smoky Mountains, you want to see at least one bear. And sometimes you get to see a bear. It might just be a black glimpse off in the distance, but you saw a bear. Well, little did we know that the place where we were going, we got our fill of bears. There was the cabin that we stayed at. There was probably 2 to 4 times a day there was a bear or bears walking through. It had a nice backyard, plenty of place to roam around, and we saw a total of probably, I think it was like 5 or 6 different bears, but they had their routine. They'd come through there several times a day. And the one was, I call him a teenager. He was just a half grown bear. We saw him a couple times come trotting through there. And It's really humorous or ironic or funny. I don't know how you want to look at it, but we're always taught if you see a bear, stay away. But for some reason, when somebody hollered bear, we were like a bunch of people from the city that never saw a cow, and there was a stampede through the house, out the door. And we tried to get as close as we could to the thing, and it was a little bit foolish. And then there was I think it was 1 or 2 males, adult males, that would come around. And he's like a big overgrown puppy, I tell you what. They don't want to hurt you, but you have to respect them. And the one day we all left somewhere at about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and we got back at like 3 o'clock. And the first person to get back was my brother-in-law Darren. And he opened the door, and there's a stairway right inside, and he was met with a bear. He got in the house. Well, the thing kind of charged him a little bit. I tell you why. It'll do something to you. But anyway, that thing thought he owned the house. And it wasn't easy to get him out at all. He ended up going from one house to the other, left a few piles here and there. He got into somebody's bedroom, tore up the blinds, took a chunk out of the casing. It was like pine casing. I don't know if his claw got up there or something. He took a big chunk out of it. Got on their bed, ate some food. I mean, he was living it up. But the thing is, they're not scared of people. You can holler and scream. They just kind of, they're used to people around. I don't know if the people around there would maybe feed them once in a while. I don't know. It's illegal to do that, but they would say that there's a pet coon. They feed the coon and the cats, but it's illegal to feed the bears. They made that very clear. But the bear doesn't know if it's for the coon or the cat. So they were really, really sticky around this place. I mean, it got to the point where it was a little bit annoying, you know. The children, you had to watch the children if they're outside. You never knew when the bear was going to come creeping around them. They are silent. If they're in the woods, you hear a little bit of crackling of branches or leaves or something. But when they're out in the open, you can't hear them. They're just quiet. And even the day we were packing up Friday morning, the male was out there. We're out there trying to pack our vehicles, and he's kind of wandering around. Somebody left their van door open. He was almost got in the van. I chased him off with a stick. But yeah, it was quite the experience with bears. But then there was a mother and cubs. That was a little bit different. Whenever she was around, she would let you know if you're too close. I mean, there was several times a group of us were outside watching her, and we're a little bit too close. Her head would go down and she'd lunge forward like 4 or 5 steps. And we couldn't get in the house fast enough. I mean, it was... The doors weren't big enough. I mean, it would... We soon learned to respect the mother bear and her cubs. Like, keep our distance and be very respectful. I think we were a bit foolish at times. So, I've been thinking about bears a lot last week. So when Paul asked me to share something, I thought, well, what can we learn? What can we learn from bears? The Bible actually talks about bears. And it actually uses the mother bear as a likeness to God's wrath or judgment on unrepentant sinners. Now, a mother bear is very protective over her cubs. I found this little article. It says, the unparalleled ferocity and rage of a mother bear who has been prematurely separated from her cubs is used in Scripture to picture a fierce sense of anger. A mother bear will become violent very quickly if she perceives any danger to her cubs and will protect them to the very end. This important instinct is given by God to these animals as a means to maintain the bear population. It is worthy of consideration from both a physical and spiritual perspective. So if something happens to her cubs, I guess these things, they'll let loose in a fit of rage. I'd like to see it happen, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere close, but it'd be interesting to see. But they lose all sense of fear, and they'll fight to the death. And God uses that as a likeness of his wrath to unrepentant sinners. If we go to Hosea chapter 13, he's talking about the children of Israel here, how they kind of became independent, and they had everything they needed, and they kind of forgot about God. In verse 7 it says, therefore I will be unto them as a lion and as a leopard by the way I will observe them, and I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. That means a bear that had her cubs taken away. And will rend the call of their heart. And there I will devour them like a lion. So he likens himself as a bear that had her cubs stolen. Like the fierce wrath upon people that forget about him and basically walk away from him. And there's also that account where the children came out to mock Elijah or Elisha. I get the two names mixed up, but it says two she-bears came out and it tore them up, like 40 some of them. And if you look, they weren't just innocent little children. They were young men that didn't want the prophet of God telling them what to do. They told him to go away like Elijah did. And so God brought judgment down on them with two bears. So in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 14, I just want to read that and have a few comments to make on that. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the day, unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Here it tells us the Lord's going to come back, and we need to be diligent. Diligent is someone or something showing care, constant effort, and hard work in their duties. It means paying close attention to a task and refusing to give up until it's finished correctly. Sometimes you feel like giving up, or I do anyway. But here it tells us to be diligent, to continue unto the end, that way we may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Otherwise, it'd be like meeting a mother bear. And then Ephesians 5, I want to read some of that. I think I'll start on verse 1 and read to verse 21. "Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So there's a lot of practical instructions in there on how we should walk. But there's one verse. Verse 15, it says, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So I looked up what circumspectly means. It means to careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. So as I go through my life, this is saying that I need to consider, if I do this, what is going to be the outcome? Or if I do that, where is that going to lead me? What is the consequence of this or that or the other thing? That is being circumspectly. And the opposite of that is walking as a fool. A fool doesn't care. He's like, I'll figure it out later. That's like walking up to a mother bear with cubs, not even thinking twice, just wandering up to her and not respecting her. One other thing I forgot to say. One afternoon, the mother and the cubs walked through the backyard, and a little bit later I saw the little juvenile, the teenager, kind of following their trail. And all at once, there was a streak, two bears running across the backyard. That mother chased that younger one, probably halfway down the mountain, I'm not sure, but another thought I had, this bear would, if we were walking a little out of line, this bear would give us a warning. It would lunge at us a little bit. And it didn't take us more than 2 seconds to get back to where we belonged. And I'm just, you know, the Word of God gives us warnings. The Holy Spirit gives us warnings. And how would it be if I would heed those warnings just that quick and take it that serious? Because if we wouldn't have heeded the warning of the mother bear, it would have not turned out good at all. And God doesn't want to harm us. Same as these bears, they don't want to harm us. You can be around them, but you can't walk around as a fool. Proverbs 17:12 says, Let a bear robbed of her whelps, whelps means cubs, let a bear robbed of her cubs meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. It's kind of hard to understand, but I found a little article that kind of breaks it down. It says here we are taught of the seriousness of walking in folly or in fellowshipping with a fool who walks in his folly. So spiritually dangerous and evil is the fool walking in sinful ways that it would be better that we met a bear robbed of her cubs than to meet a fool in his folly. Though a bear might wound physically, foolishness cuts to the soul. One must as carefully flee from foolishness and those that walk in it as one would avoid coming between a mother bear and her cubs. Flee unrighteous anger, reckless pursuits of pleasure, sinful pride, false doctrine, and anything else that is wicked and perverse. For such folly destroys both individuals and the church of God. The danger is a very real thing, for we all have a sinful nature that is inclined to such foolishness. So that's pretty much all I had. From thinking about the bears all week and the likeness that God gives of his wrath to unrepentant sinners, it was good for me to think about. So I guess it was an encouragement for me to avoid walking foolishly, but tread carefully around, take God's word seriously, because he's not playing around. So that's all I have, and may God bless the rest of the day.